Chapter 4. Finding Victory in Surrender. Seriously, who reads all 9 pages of the terms and conditions associated with purchasing a 3-minute song from iTunes? Did you even know there are terms and conditions? I admit that when I find what I'm looking for, it's a quick scroll to the bottom of the contract and an easy check in the mandatory box. With that, I agree to whatever my fate might be. From booking a hotel on Expedia to purchasing a book on Amazon, our focus tends to be the product, not the process. We want a simple procedure with quick results. Have we treated the call of Jesus Christ in a similar way? Do we base our salvation on an external experience of reciting a prayer, walking an aisle, or signing a commitment card without ever knowing the Savior himself? Do we check the proverbial salvation box and return to life as usual, assuming all God wanted was the intellectual assent? While salvation is clearly by grace through faith alone in Christ and his finished work, such grace irreversibly changes a life. One does not taste and embrace the love of Jesus Christ to indulge in a double lifestyle. The only appropriate response to the love of Calvary is complete surrender to the person of Jesus Christ. This life of discipleship is not about personal perfection, but about a passionate pursuit to know him and to become like him. The decision to follow Christ is a choice to put aside our double life and pursue with single vision Christ himself. If this sounds unrealistic, keep reading. Ultimately, there will be a denial. Someone will be denied. The word denied has been defined as refusing to give or grant what has been requested or desired. Either self will be denied and refused, or Jesus Christ will be denied and refused. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters," Matthew 6:24. The starting point of this quest isn't you. It begins with him. He calls, he speaks, he invites. Our responsibility is to answer. Your past does not define your potential. Whether your past is reputable or reprehensible, in Christ, you are a new creation. When we allow the past to be part of the criteria as to whether we or another can follow Christ, we are suggesting that our portfolio is somehow needed by God to accomplish his mission. Nothing could be further from the truth. Regardless of who is answering the call, the first step is surrender. In academic pursuits, before you can take an advanced class, you must take lower-level elementary classes called prerequisites. Once you pass these classes, you are given admission to the more complex courses. Is it a punishment from the university that you must take prerequisites? No. The prerequisites are intended to set you up for success. Such preliminary knowledge is vital. Addressing the crowds, Jesus declared the prerequisites for following him. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Matthew 16:24. Christ's call was far more extreme and revolutionary than a mere list of personal restrictions and directions for self-denial. In the New King James Version, Matthew 16:24 is translated, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The decision to deny self in order to follow Christ is introduced with the words, "let him." Let. Let means to not prevent or forbid. If I let something fall to the ground, it indicates there was an action I could have taken to prevent it. The same is true spiritually. The power to change is not in behavior modification, but in Christ's sufficiency. In Philippians 2, we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2, 5, and 8, NKJV. Let. It's about letting Him work in us, not trying harder. Trying harder in our own strength only gets in the way of letting Him work. It's about finally surrendering. It's not about finding a better strategy. As will become clear in the next chapter, it's not even about self-denial. When our focus is on self-denial, the concentration drifts to self and what we must accomplish to please the Lord. The very process of following Christ becomes a substitute for an authentic relationship with Him. Has nominal Christianity watered down Christ's message of a glorious, eternal, relational opportunity, turning it into some kind of worthless, temporal, religious obligation? Following Christ is not about adopting an avoidance mentality. Don't drink, don't do drugs, don't party, don't curse, don't lie, don't have premarital sex, don't watch porn, don't cheat, and the list goes on and on. Don't get me wrong, the Word of God commands us to flee the damned lusts of the flesh. But fleeing such things is not the goal. It's not the pursuit. No wonder that today's youth in the world and in the church are restless. Our generation and every generation was created to have a holy cause which we can own. We want a passion for which to live and a purpose for which to die. Christ came to give us that.